It is 6:06 on the Central Coast on this Monday, March 30th, 2020. Welcome back to Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. Tomorrow, Bob Sachs is going to explain the importance of meditation. David Holmes is going to give us a little history lesson and remind us of the times that we have been through before, whether it's 9/11 or the Great Depression or what the British went through during World War II. We're talking about sacrifice and resilience. Stu Jenkins will be here on Thursday. Adam Hill says he's coming back to work. Okay. We'll talk. We are here weekday afternoons from 3 to 7 on AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. This is what the LA Times says. Gun sales are surging in many U.S. states, especially those hardest hit by the coronavirus, California, New York, and Washington. But there's also been an uptick in less affected areas, with some first-time gun buyers fearing an unraveling of the social order, and some gun owners worried that the government might use its emergency powers to restrict gun purchases. Gun stores continue to be open in California because they are considered an essential business. That has been a subject of some debate. Always good to have Matt Hoy on this broadcast. His website is restrictedarms.com. He joins us now. Matt, good evening.
Good evening, Dave. Sorry I can't be there with you, but
it's not the same.
We'll have to do, huh?
It's not the same.
It's not. It's not.
Because who's going to protect me? Because you got, you know, when you come, whatever.
You've got locked doors there now. I think that helps a lot.
Yeah, it does. So, what happened the last time you were in a gun store, and how recently was that, Matt? Let's start with there.
So I was in the gun. I was down at Range Master and Slow, which is one of your advertisers, about 2.5 weeks ago to sign up for some training that I needed to do. And when I went in there to sign up for the training, I browsed. So I was looking in the cases at you know some of the firearms they had for sale, and they had probably 5. SIG P2022s, which is a 9mm semi-automatic handgun that's a polymer gun that ran about $575 or so. Had a couple SIG P238s that looked really nice. It ran about $780 a week, and all sorts of Springfields and other semi-automatic handguns of various calibers. And when I went in there a week before, not last Saturday, but a week before that, to do the training I needed to do, all of those guns were sold out. The only guns they had in stock were some new revolvers and quite a few guns that are on consignment, used guns that they're offering on consignment. So new semi-automatic handguns, they were fresh out.
Had you ever seen anything like that before?
The last time I saw something like that before was shortly before the latest California assault weapons ban went through in 2018. In the last month, guns that would be considered assault weapons for sale didn't last long on store shelves. So, because if they're going to be gone, you got to get one now while you can.
So what's taking place? LA Times says people are afraid of federal government. That's why they're buying guns. What do you think?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think people are buying guns because, they're worried about their safety and their family's safety. And this, coronavirus, Wuhan flu, whatever you want to call it, it's kind of scary. It transmits pretty easily. If you are, and I've heard, people at higher risk or older people or people with underlying medical conditions, but I've been, seeing things about people who you would think would be able to fight it off just fine, and who are much younger, it gets them too. So it seems to me is to be particularly virulent. And I think there's a concern of, social order kind of slipping away. And when you call the police, maybe they don't show up, frankly. the Slow Tribune just reported earlier today that two Santa Maria police officers have tested positive.
Yep.
There's a big portion of the Detroit Police Department that is self-quarantining because somebody at Police and Pancakes Breakfast had it, and it's just run through their department like a wildfire. And, you know, cops, the people on the front line that are most have the most susceptibility to encountering this are, you know, healthcare workers, people still working in grocery stores, I think are, you know, definitely at higher risk, and especially cops, because if they've got to arrest somebody, I mean, they're going pretty darn hands on, and, you know, more hands on and more out of control than anybody else, right? If someone's resisting or whatnot, you know, you don't get somebody in a hospital resisting the nurse, you know, like that. So, you know, there's a definite danger if this starts, you know, spreading. I think most people are concerned that if it starts spreading through law enforcement, that that police officers are, you know, that patrols are going to be cut, and the number of, and, you know, there's even talk in some states, and I think here in California too, about, you know, they're worried about the spread of the virus, the coronavirus within prisons or in jails, and right. So they're talking about letting people out.
Exactly.
That scares some people. They say, well, we'll only let out, you know, people, you know, nonviolent offenders. And, you know, my question is if they're in there for shoplifting, and you let them out because they're a nonviolent offender, what if they're, are you looking at just what they're in there for now, or are you looking at their criminal history? Because maybe you got them in there now for shoplifting, but they were involved in an assault a year ago.
Just to underscore your point, Bloomberg News is reporting that Italy is risking losing its grip in the South with fear of looting and rioting.
You know, if you want to, you know, your older listeners and can probably, you know, recall back to the L.A. area after the first Rodney King verdict back in 92, I believe it was.
Yeah.
And that, you know, just, and, you know, they called in the National Guard. Well, they called in the National Guard, and the National Guard went and cut off access from, you know, downtown L.A. to the suburbs. And police withdrew, and I put it up on my Twitter feed, which is at Hoystory. If you go to twitter.com/Hoystory, H-O-Y-S-T-O-R-Y. There's a good video on looking back at the Korean shop owners who stood in their parking lots, you know, with guns and on roofs with firearms.
Right. I remember.
To protect their businesses, because the police weren't going to do it. And the National Guard, you know, rolled right on through and you know, protecting the suburbs.
All right.
So they were on their own, and I think that's what people fear. I think they fear a replay of that.
We got Matt Hoy here. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about gun stores in California and whether or not they are essential businesses. When we come back, we'll talk with Matt about a couple county sheriffs who tried to shut stores down. And what happened? We'll also take your phone call. Stick around. You're listening to AM 920 FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Mm-hmm. 619 on Hometown Radio. Our guest continues to be Matt Hoy. Matt's website is restrictedarms.com. As you were explaining in the first segment, Matt, Governor Newsom apparently punted it to the counties. They could decide on a county-by-county basis whether or not they considered gun stores to be essential businesses. I guess in Alameda County, up in the Bay Area, they decided to close things down. Here's a brief snippet. A gun shop in Castro Valley that was defying the stay-at-home order shuttered its doors to customers Friday after the Alameda County Sheriff's Office warned the owner that he would be cited if he kept his business open. It turns out the gun shop is not the only non-essential store in the East Bay going about business as usual. So up in Alameda County, they've closed the gun stores. But I can't figure out what's happening in L.A. County. It seems to be changing by the day.
Yeah, L.A. County, the sheriff there is Alex Villanueva. He is a liar. He says he's a strong supporter of the Second Amendment. That is demonstrably a lie. And it's not just about this. I mean, the guy won't issue concealed carry permits in that county unless you either are very wealthy or a famous Hollywood star. Otherwise, if you're Joe Schmo in L.A. County and have, you know, and are concerned about threats against you, or if you're a woman with a violent, estranged ex or something, you know, get some pepper spray. The violent, estranged ex will probably get a gun on the street. But he is not a defender of the Second Amendment, despite saying that. He said all gun stores were not essential, ordered them closed down. A few hours later, the county council said, yes, they are, and they were opened back up. And then a few days later, somebody asked Governor Gavin Newsom, well, you know, are gun stores, you know, essential services? And Newsom basically said, well, I'm going to leave that up to the sheriff of each county to decide. And so the sheriff went and turned around again, ordered them all to close. He's only got authority in those unincorporated portions of L.A. County. So in those areas, the gun stores have been shut down again. I believe L.A. City proper, along with the city of Pasadena, have also ordered gun stores closed in their jurisdictions. But there are, you know, there are places there that are probably still open. I don't know which ones for sure. That's basically prompted a lawsuit. The NRA, Firearms Policy Coalition, Second Amendment Foundation, a couple other groups, along with some people who, you know, plaintiffs who want to buy guns, and some of the shops have filed a lawsuit in the Central District of California against those individuals, the governor, the sheriff, various other people.
So, Matt, make the case. Why are gun stores, in your mind, considered to be or should be considered an essential business? Why not just shut them down like everybody else?
Well, I'm of the opinion that anything protected by the Bill of Rights, anything that services that, is an essential business. I mean, let's think about where not respecting that leads us. The state government, the local governments can put out videos on YouTube and stream that sort of information and make that information public without needing Dave Congleton, or without needing the Slow Tribune, or without needing the LA Times. And you got reporters going around talking with each other and talking to people and exposing themselves and possibly acting as carriers. I mean, if we're really worried about this virus spreading, you know, we need to stop that too. Just because we're in a pandemic doesn't mean we suspend the Constitution, or at least the parts of the Constitution that certain people don't like. I found it amusing, the LA Times, you know, the Slow Tribune did it too, the Sacramento Bee, you know, put out an editorial saying gun stores aren't essential. You can't shoot the virus, which is one of the dumbest things I've heard as far as an argument against this. But I've come out with editorials saying, look, this is, you know, gun stores aren't essential. You can shut them down. You know, the Second Amendment, just, you know, forget it. And then at least the LA Times, and I don't want to, you know, sidetrack it too much, but the right to purchase and own and bear firearms is in the Second Amendment.
Right.
The LA Times runs an editorial saying we should suspend it while we're going through this pandemic. 2 days later, the LA Times runs an editorial chastising governors in Texas, and I'm not sure if Louisiana was another one of them, that basically ordered abortion providers to close down because abortions are, you know, 99% of them are not medically necessary. They are a kind of a form of...
You really want to go there.
Well, one's all I'm pointing out is this.
Come
one's
back to
mentioned
guns.
In the Constitution.
Yeah.
The other one isn't. And basically, it's just all these newspapers. You know, there isn't a gun control law or limitation that any of these newspapers wouldn't approve of, and have approved of in the past.
All right, let's
this is just an excuse to shut them down.
We got a text message on the Stubber Law KVC text line. What part of shall not be infringed? Don't you people understand? Thank God we live in a republic and not the democracy. You people should leave us in peace.
One of the, Kevin Williamson, who is a writer for the National Review, and who was briefly hired by the Atlantic for all of 3 days before they fired him, has a nice way of characterizing the Bill of Rights. And he says the Bill of Rights is basically a list of things you idiots don't get to vote on. They are, you know, above and beyond, and it's possible, you know, you can amend the Constitution, but nobody ever talks about amending the Constitution, or they do, but you know, you're going to lose.
Should
this
we
one.
Should
if you
we limit
repeal the Second Amendment?
Should we limit the number of, like, you go to Trader Joe's now, they limit the number of items you can buy. They say two of one item. Should they at least limit the number of guns any one person could buy now, temporarily?
That's already the law in California. You can only buy a handgun once every 30 days.
Okay.
And you know, I mentioned there's a constitutional issue with it. There's also a technical legal issue with it. If you shut down the gun stores, people who bought a gun before the closure, you know, in the 5 or 6 days before the closure, California has a 10-day waiting period. So you've got to wait 10 days before you can pick it up. If we're closed down for 3 weeks, that approval of purchasing a gun through the national NICS system is only valid for 30 days. So you've got to pick it up between 10 and 30 days. If 30 days elapse, you've got to go through the 10-day wait again, and they got to check you again. So there are people who, you know, if you closed all these things down, they bought their gun, they may have to pay, you know, to get it checked again. And I think that's $37 and change now, and wait another 10 days. So, you know, you could have somebody waiting for 4 or 5 months, possibly, before they could get a gun.
All right, Matt Hoy, back on Hometown Radio. His website is restrictedarms.com, restrictedarms.com. We're talking about whether or not gun stores in California, at least, should be considered an essential business, or we can make it anywhere in the country. That's fine. And what about these sheriffs that are trying to close them down? We'll take your phone calls as we continue. Here's the news. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you this Monday evening. .633 on Hometown Radio. I'm Dave Congleton. My guest is Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking about gun stores. And just to elaborate on this, Matt, as we come back to you, it's the idea, it's not just Newsom. Newsom punted in my mind because he just let the individual counties decide. But there are governors all over the country that are wrestling with the same issue, right, about whether or not gun stores are essential businesses.
Right. And, you know, New Jersey was off, and shut them down. New Jersey had even shut down access to the federal background check system for a few days. And then this weekend, the Department of Homeland Security said that it's an advisory list. It holds no legal backing behind it, but the Department of Homeland Security added firearms retailers, distributors, and manufacturers to its list of essential businesses.
All right.
So when that happened, the New Jersey governor earlier today, I believe, flip-flopped back and is going to allow them to open. But it's a very fluid situation all across the country. New Mexico, they've been all ordered closed. The governor of New Mexico ordered all gun stores closed.
So, all right. If you want in on the conversation, join us, 805-543-8830, or call us toll-free at 800-549-5832. As we talk about whether or not gun stores should be considered essential businesses. On the Stolberg Law KVC text line, interesting that your guest is not bemoaning the limitation of freedom of assembly, also in the Bill of Rights, just his precious guns. It seems hypocritical to me. What's your response, Matt?
Well, I did bemoan it earlier today. I wrote a post on restricted arms, and if you scroll down far enough, I'm of the opinion that anything that supports something in the Bill of Rights should continue, whether that's a government operation or a private business. So I think we should, still have the Dave Congleton show every day.
Bless
you. I think the Tribune should still be able to publish and all these broadcast things. I don't think we should turn that over to the government to do that. Likewise, I think Second Amendment should, be honored and not tossed in the dustbin. I think people should be able to, appear before a judge and get a bail hearing and that sort of stuff.
All right.
As far as freedom of assembly, that's a tough question. During a public health emergency, state governments have very broad police powers. I think that's something that they can do because it directly impacts public health.
Right.
I don't think this really does. You're not going to catch, you're not at higher risk catching COVID-19 by going to the gun store than by going to your pharmacy.
All right.
Or a grocery store.
Let's take a call. We got George in Santa Margarita. Hey, George.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, George.
I want to say I thoroughly agree with your guest. And I also feel that the real problem we're having here with gun stores and the sale of guns is basically media.
Well, stop blaming the media. Stop it.
No, I have to say that. And I'm not really saying...
Stop it.
I'm not picking on you personally, but you are actually kind of contributing. But
stop it.
We have our inalienable rights, and we can lose these rights, too, by breaking laws. But our forefathers thought enough about protecting our inalienable rights that they actually put them in the Constitution.
No right is absolute, George. You know that. Any right can be restricted.
Well, absolutely. You're absolutely correct. But you have to... it's a consequence of your actions that make you lose these rights. It's not that we just unilaterally say, you know what, people can no longer defend themselves. We're just going to do it for them. That doesn't work. And I really got to say it is actually a problem due to media.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. Matt, respond to what he said, that we have the right to buy a gun.
Well, we do. There's reasonable restrictions, and then there's California's gun control regime, which is frankly ridiculous. But you've got the Slow Tribune ran a column, attacking Sheriff Ian Parkinson for allowing gun stores to remain open in the county. Then they published five letters to the editor that they got that were all on one side. Then 3 or 4 days later, they updated that same file and added a couple of, letters from people supporting the sheriff on his decision. Then they published something from the Sacramento Bee, which was, what's the headline on it? NRA's lawsuit against California exploits coronavirus crisis to push agenda of death.
Nice. George, anything else you want to say?
Well, no, not particularly. I just find it really sorrowful, the fact that when you just don't go buy a gun. You have to pass tests. There's background investigation. There's a whole lot in getting a gun. So it's not like the thugs are going to go out and buy guns. It's people just trying to protect your property, that's all.
I'm glad you called, George. Thank you. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832. Are gun stores essential businesses, or should they be shut down? On the Stolber Law KVC text line, Matt, Sandy writes, shut them down right now. I've heard four young men saying that they were going to buy a gun and a generator. Scary. What the hell do they think is going to happen?
I don't know. Define young men. You can't buy a gun in the state of California unless you're 21 years old.
I don't know. She just says young men.
I don't, you know, and that's the thing. You know, you've seen a lot of these editorials and people concerned about talk about this as panic buying, and they're worried about, you know, people who don't have training or don't understand gun safety going out and buying this gun, you know, guns. You've got to take a test. You got to pay $25 to take a test on gun safety and proper gun storage and gun use. When you buy the gun, you've got to give a safe handling demonstration showing that you know how to load and unload the gun safely and not to point it at someone and that sort of thing. So, you know, this sort of, it's not like you walk in there, pointed the gun, and 15 minutes later you're walking out the store after having paid for it.
All right.
Not in California.
We got Dave in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Good. What's up?
Hey, well, you know what? They've closed the churches, so they're not essential, so maybe gun stores shouldn't be essential either. But I'm just kind of saying that tongue-in-cheek. If they do social distancing and all the practices, I think that most of the stores should be open if they really practice that. And that's my thought, because it's going to kill businesses.
All right, Dave, thank you. A couple points there, Matt. One, you've been in the gun stores. Are they practicing social distancing?
Yeah, they've. When I was in Range Masters 10 days ago, they, you know, if you wanted to come in, you basically had to call, and they would take down your name and number, and basically people were sitting outside in the parking lot, you know, far away from each other. They only let so many people in the store at a time, and they would call you when you could come in. So it's, you know, people were not crowding. It was very, you know, people were very spread out. It's the way, you know, things are going to go for all businesses. You know, a friend of mine, you know, Matt Pierce, who owns Old San Luis Barbecue, was on Facebook asking if somebody knew somebody who could replace an iPhone battery for one of his managers. Because his iPhone had died, and he was having a heck of a time, you know, contacting him.
Oh, yeah, he can't.
And apparently all the repair places are closed.
They're all closed.
So, you know, it's, you know, and I think nowadays, you know, getting your phone repaired with the way, you know, with how much those things have in it and how kind of essential they are to just, you know, getting by nowadays, it seems to me like those should be essential businesses, too.
Matt Hoy making the case why gun stores should be considered an essential business. What do you think? We welcome your phone calls, 805-543-8830 or 800-549-5832. On the Stolber Law KVC text line, the Sheriff Villanova decided to take 150 misdemeanor crimes off the book last year. Listener considers him to be very dangerous. He claims that he took $4 million from George Soros. Of course he did. That's why the guy doesn't believe in the Second Amendment. You know anything about that?
Don't know anything about that, but the guy doesn't believe in the Second Amendment.
Dr. Steve is texting in. Ironic that more Americans have died from gunshot wounds this year than COVID-19 has killed. Any thoughts on that?
Again, this is, you know, this is the old saw about where we only count the people who've died. And, you know, again, when you count up, you know, gun deaths or gun violence deaths, 2/3 of the numbers are suicides. And they never count the other side, which are crimes stopped and lives saved by people with guns. In the past week, I think the first one was on the 25th, so 5 days ago, in Fresno, you had a guy with a shotgun who was running from police, who was, it's a little unclear from the Fresno Bee's reporting, but looks like he was shot at by a concealed carrier and driven to the ground and finally arrested, thanks to a concealed carrier. In Tulsa Friday night, some woman apparently had an argument with some people out. I don't know whether it was a park. They're not clear on whether it was over a parking space or something else in a mall in Tulsa. And she, comes out of her car and with a gun and starts shooting random people. And she was shot and killed by someone with a concealed carry license. And that very easily could have been one of these mass public shootings that never was, because there was someone, a good guy with a gun, right there. So you count the suicides, you count the gang violence, you count that sort, but they never count the other side. Everything's a trade-off.
I have to say, Matt, you're painting a pretty bleak picture here of what might be happening in the next couple months.
I don't think I'm painting a bleak picture. It's frankly, we've never in my lifetime. I've never encountered anything like this. This is new territory to me. I suspect most people who are buying guns for, self-defense and defense of their homes and loved ones are in the same boat. This is something we have never experienced. This is something that is new to us. We don't know how it's going to go. We don't know whether we're going to get back to normal in, 5 or 6 weeks, or whether it's going to be 3 months, or whether they're going to delay the start of the school year. I mean, already now it looks like we're probably not coming back to school. Public schools are probably not back in session this year, which means I won't get very much time in front of my nice computer setup as my wife takes it over to help teach her classes online. But there's a whole lot of uncertainty, and I think that uncertainty is part of what's driving this, and I don't know. I don't know what's going to come, and it's being able to defend yourself and at least not depending on the police, who may or may not show up in time. I think a lot of people are realizing that this is a responsible thing to do. It's not irresponsible. It's not crazy. Buying 500 rolls of toilet paper or trying to corner the market on hand sanitizer, that's a little crazy.
That's a lot crazier. Let's take a call. We got Mike in Los Osos. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Mike.
I couldn't see a better time in my lifetime for gun stores to be open and for people to exercise their Second Amendment rights. I can't believe that there would be anyone out there who would be against that, because we are in uncertain times, and the Second Amendment isn't there for hunting. So, it's a no-brainer. Every gun store should be open. That's why it's our Second Amendment. So,
although the problem becomes, if the store is open, it sounds like from what Matt's saying, there's no guns to buy.
Well,
that's part of it.
Work on producing more guns. maybe we should focus more resources on producing guns to make sure that American citizens can exercise their Second Amendment rights in times of crisis and protect themselves.
Is that really the answer? More guns?
Absolutely.
Well,
because I trust my fellow Americans. I don't trust the government, and so I believe in freedom. And I believe that you, Dave, you would responsibly own a firearm. I'm not worried about you going out and shooting me.
You don't want to, want me with a gun. Matt, comment on that. Stay with us a second, Mike. What do you think, Matt?
Well, I agree. There are lots of people who believe, and some have even said, including a guy who's written a book called Guns Down, who is very much anti-Second Amendment, they have posited that with this, gun-buying frenzy that's going on now, that the rate of gun violence, and he says gun violence, but I don't think he's really concerned about suicides. They usually aren't really concerned about suicides. is going to skyrocket. And the thing is, people, we had a gun buying surge for better than 20 years. The number of guns bought has gone up year over year for more than 20 years. More people own guns now than own guns then. And yet the violent crime rate has gone down. And it's like, well, but this time it's going to go up. No, it's not going to. It's continuing to go down. And I won't say all of that's because people have been buying guns. You know, so certainly a big portion of it is we've put more people, you know, more people who commit crimes with guns in prison.
All right, Mike, what else do you want to say?
Well, it's simple. If, you know, if people abuse free speech, you know, we're not going to shut down free speech. And same with guns. If, you know, if people, if there are more shootings because of this and people lose their minds, it's not the gun, it's the person. And I shouldn't lose my Second Amendment rights because of somebody else out there who, you know, who's out of control.
All right, Mike, I'm glad you called. Thank you. We'll come back for a final segment with Matt Hoy. His website is restrictedarms.com. We're talking with Matt Hoy from restrictedarms.com about whether or not gun stores should be considered an essential business. Back on the phones we go. Steve is in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Steve.
Hello, Dave. How are you today?
Good, Dr. Steve. Thank you.
Hey, you know, I just had a question. Matt, you kind of discounted the whole issue of suicides as of all the gun deaths, with two-thirds of them being suicides, as if that didn't count. At this time of crisis, where people are going to lose their homes, they're going to lose their jobs, they're going to lose everything, do we really want to add more guns? I know you don't think suicides, you don't seem to think suicides count as a gun death or count very important, but to the family around that suicide, it does. And guns make it very easy to take your own life.
No, on the contrary, I think gun suicides are, I think all suicides, whether you use a gun, whether you hang yourself, whether you OD on drugs, I think they're all a tragedy. I had a good friend of mine in high school hung himself in his bedroom, and, you know, he's 16 years old, and he's gone. So my point about suicides is it seems like those people who always want more gun control laws, they aren't really interested in mental health, because let's take the red flag laws we have, for instance. Red flag laws allow someone to petition a judge ex parte, so you don't have a chance to defend yourself, to take a person's firearms away. Once the firearms are taken away, is that person, you know, are they evaluated mentally? Is there anything done to get them mental health treatment if necessary? No, it's just about
taking
away the gun.
That's not really answering my question, though, Matt.
Go ahead, Steve.
Matt, that's not really answering my question. I'm talking about normal, common folk losing their jobs, losing their homes, falling into depression. Do you really want more guns in those homes?
I don't want the person who's depressed and who's considering ending their life to have a gun. I don't want them using a gun for that purpose.
Well, that's going to happen.
So your solution is we'll prevent everyone from having guns.
One at a time, gentlemen. Go ahead, Matt.
We'll prevent everyone from having guns. We'll bar people from having guns so they will not be able to defend themselves. and so that's the solution.
No, the solution, I think, is to not make guns an essential business, just like we can't attend church, just like we can't attend libraries, just like we can't assemble. For the public good, it's probably a good idea to have fewer guns in our homes until this crisis passes. That's my opinion.
When is this crisis going to pass? Is it just when we're no longer at home, or is it when the economy recovers? Because, you know, there's serious economists who think we could be in a depression for 9 months a year. Should they be closed for a year?
I don't make those decisions, but right now I think they ought to be closed, because I don't want depressed people getting guns. I don't want more guns being added to our society at all, and especially during a time of mental depression.
All right. Dr. Steve, thank you very much for calling in. If you want in on this conversation now, we need to hear from you now, please. 805-543-8830. 800-549-5832 for Matt Hoy Read what he has to say about guns on his website, restrictedarms.com. What's the trend here, Matt? Are you concerned that more governors, more sheriffs are going to get tough and shut down gun stores?
I suspect those that are inclined to do it have done it. So, there are other states where it's exactly the opposite. You know, governors and sheriffs and whatnot have made it clear that they're going to keep them open. Aside from that, I think people have drawn up sides by this point.
What didn't we get to? You want to make sure we get to?
Well, I'd like to thank the doctor for some clarity. He doesn't want any more guns in society, period. And when asked when his proverbial ban would end, he begs off and doesn't want to take a stand. So it's clear where he's coming from. And I appreciate clarity above all else. The other thing is, all these, the media outlets and these other people who are pretend to be concerned about gun safety and people who are going to get guns don't have necessary training, this, that, and the other thing. All of these organizations were silent when earlier this month, or maybe it started late last month, a couple of California legislators introduced a bill in the assembly that would ban the use of lead ammunition at all indoor and outdoor firing ranges in the state.
15 seconds.
This would make training or learning to use a firearm so expensive that only the very wealthy could do it.
All right, Matt Hoy. Check out his website at restrictedarms.com. Thanks for joining us this evening.
Thanks, Dave.
Matt Hoy, checking in. Did gun violence increase during the Depression? I don't know. Tom writes, I don't want, oh, please. Thanks to all my guests today. Thanks to Craig Hill for his help, and thanks to you for listening. Be safe, be well. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver the Cat, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.